University of Illinois or teaching there for the first time?
We're still engaged in discovery. We don't, you know, litigation is unfortunately slow.
Well, we want to thank both of you for being with us. Professor Stephen Salaita is now Edward Said Chair of American Studies at the American University of Beirut. Last year, his job offer from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign was withdrawn after he posted tweets critical of the 2014 Israeli assault on Gaza. His book on civil rights, Palestine and the Limits of Academic Freedom. And thank you so much to Maria LaHood. That does it for the show. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez for another edition of Democracy Now!
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up, it's Wednesday Talk Radio. Reverend Billy and the Church of Stop Shopping are in the house. The Stop Shopping Choir will be here to entertain you with music and words.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present Zakir Hussain, October 7th, 7:30 p.m. at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall in Portland. Zakir Hussain is most well known as a tabla player, and he will be exploring the impact jazz has had on Western and Indian music with special guests including Shankar Madhadevan and Dave Holland. Again, that's Zakir Hussain, Wednesday, October 7th, 7:30 p.m. at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall, 1037 Southwest Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present an evening of music and dialogue on the climate and jobs crisis Saturday, October 10th at 6:30 p.m. Joe Yulin is a labor leader who will discuss the urgency and the climate crisis and the response that must be made in carbon neutral work, education, and more. Again, that's an evening of music and dialogue on the climate and job crisis Saturday, October 10th, 6:30 p.m. at the AFL-CIO Hall at 3645 Southeast 32nd Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
12 months of bribery, 12 months of lies. Cops in the village to truncheon your pride.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing and Full Circle Resale, featuring women's clothing, jewelry, and accessories with a focus on natural fibers, since 1984. Gazelle and Full Circle Resale are both located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont and at gazellenaturalfiberclothing.com.
It was a distraction, as the end of the world approached, that there were still such great sales. New and improved Apple apps, survivalist yoga techniques, drowning Elmo toys, all kinds of things. The tsunamis and heat waves, flash floods, volcanoes, hurricanes bounced on the horizon like Looney Tunes. The accelerating apocalypse got us hot. The really bad disasters were all available on pay-per-view. What didn't kill us made us watch. You could take a mile-wide tornado off the shelf, hit a button, watch it drop into the city, and wow, it was like watching Lady Gaga do the splits in a dress made of flank steaks. You can say one thing about the humans. We were a species that scribbled, texted, hologrammed, and burst a blood vessel of pixels in the final years of modern life. If the revolution wasn't televised, the end of the world certainly was. Millions of movies were found on mounds of stinking corpses, still flickering on screens through cold, grasping fingers. Of the six known mass extinctions on Earth, this was the self-conscious one, produced and consumed in high def, broad color.
And I have to turn that down because we have the person who was doing that live in the studio. Who was that guy?
God, what a downer on him. You know, at the beginning of the day here with my coffee to listen to this apocalyptic stuff.
We're used to that here.
Oh, anyway, that's KBOO. That's KBOO.
That's right.
Apocalypse for this, breakfast.
Yeah, KBOO.
Can we first start with the introductions?
Anarchy.
Chaos already.
This is a anarchist version of Wednesday Talk Radio here on KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM in Portland. And my name is Paul Rowan. I'll be your host, or I don't know what I'll do for the next hour, but I'll be here with a bunch of other people. And we've got Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir all the way from New York City. Say hi.
Yay.
Hallelujah.
Hi.
Hallelujah. Earth-a-lujah.
All right. And start with you, Reverend Billy. How'd you drag all these people into this kind of thing here?
It's a con job, you know. It's a kind of religion, but what kind of religion is it? It's godless. We pray to the forest on your T-shirt, Paul.
We don't pray.
On
Earth.
I've got
no,
a forest
we don't pray.
On my T-shirt.
We don't pray. We commune. No, we get into six-part harmonies and dance across the fields. Mm. Hallelujah. I'd like to introduce the choir here today. We have in the lipstick-colored scarf, Anna May. Anna May. Hallelujah.
Hello,
praise
Portland.
Be. And now we have Dragonfly.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, come on now. Ooh. Dragonfly is an experienced radio person. So we're And now we have Nehemiah Luckett, the Right Reverend Dr. Nehemiah.
Hello, Yay. Portland.
Amen, praise be. He's just arrived from Jackson, Mississippi. Travis Tench of Louisville, Kentucky. Travis.
Good morning. Good
from,
morning,
from the pickle industry. Talk to us. Say hello.
A seasoned pickler, you could call me.
Seasonal.
Yeah. Seasonal.
Seasonal pickler.
Yeah.
Artisanal.
There is so many descriptors, really.
Last but not least.
Well, our director.
Woo! Good morning.
Savitri D.
Yay! Good morning to Amen. All of you.
She manages 40 people on stage concurrently. Is that a word? Simultaneously. Instantaneously.
It's all good. And you guys are in Portland, and you're on a tour. Now, I understand you're opening up for Neil Young tonight. How'd that happen?
That's a good question.
I don't know. Has anybody told Neil yet?
We just show up and just rush the stage.
No, we ambush Neil much the same way as we ambush you, Paul. Your guest is tied to a chair in the bathroom. No violence, please. No violence.
It is kind of extraordinary to think about a group like us. We're activists. You know, we've spent the last 15 years on the street and in fields and shopping malls, getting arrested on the sidewalk, inside of corporations. And it's very unusual for a group like us to be sort of to cross over into this other world. And the reason that happened is because Neil Young is also an activist and a serious political person who operates from his values and from what he really believes in. So I think we walk parallel roads. They don't cross very often, though. So we're really excited about it. Mm-hmm. It feels good.
Well, in fact, I'm actually going to the concert, and along with a number of other Rising Tide and other activists from different groups.
Oh, welcome.
I'll be looking
welcome.
For you from the stage.
We're invited by the Neil Young people to have be part of a couple tents, social justice and environmental activist tents.
Eco Village.
So that's cool, too.
So we sing for the Eco Village at all the shows.
Yes. Oh, right on.
So we go out of the lobby. It's a little, our ritual. And we usually sing the honeybee song. We'll lecture about the neonicotinoids of Monsanto and how they make it impossible for the honeybees to navigate back after they've touched 1,000 flowers to get back to their home hive. And I think I feel that song coming on right now. We're going to sing for the Eco Village of Portland. Amen.
I got apocalypse fatigue, my honeybee and me. Where's my home hive gone? Where's my sweet, sweet tree? 1,000 flowers touching me, they know I know the queen. They touch the hive through me. They they've seen my tree in a dream. Sticky gold dust buzzing on a broken breeze. I'm spiraling offshore, and now I'm lost at sea. Oh, you can't go home again. You can't go home. No, you can't go home again. You can't go home.
Amen.
Amen.
A woman.
Because God is not a single parent.
God is not a single parent.
If you believe him.
So, you know,
wait a minute, who's that?
Yeah, really.
The patriarch.
Got out of it.
Believe in those
No. We didn't invite God. Amen. Praise be. Hallelujah. Upsetting the religious people in our audience today.
Well, maybe they'll call in.
Well, they've been upsetting me at for a long time.
God's been upsetting me since I was 4 years old. So, thank you, Paul. Yes, maybe they'll call in later. We have a conversation to have, don't we?
Yes, we do. A serious.
I should say, I should add to. Our iconic leader figure, Neil Young, his partner, Daryl Hannah. They've been together for years now, and they run this community together, and I think that she had a lot to do with the Eco Village. Mm-hmm. Every town we go to, local activists are invited in. Charis Ford is another one of the people in this community, and they reach out and they find the earth activists, and they have sort of country fair of ideas and these sharings, and
to use an Oregon reference.
Hallelujah. There you go. Yeah, just wanted to we stayed at one of the children of the country fair last night, didn't we?
Charis Ford's just launched a website called GoEarth.org, where he's kind of trying to synthesize and sort of aggregate a lot of different earth activism that's going on right now. And it just launched, and it's really beautiful.
Yay, go Earth, go!
GoEarth.org, go amen.
Check it out.
It's going to keep going regardless of what we do.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
In any case, Daryl Hannah, she's gotten arrested as an activist, hasn't she?
She sure has.
Well, that's when we started noticing Daryl. There are a lot of celebrities who, out of self-loathing and having $30 million, they start getting a little older, and they turn to saving, the polywogs. They become involved in. And we love them for that. But that's what we usually see, is a sort of obligatory, mature celebrity obligated to now
it's like kind of
pay
a
back.
Cause, it's a kind of cause-based...
Yeah.
A cause-based charm offensive. That's what we usually get from celebrities, right? So,
But Daryl...
I'm
going to
take
Daryl was
on
different. Daryl was getting arrested.
She was serious.
And that's a big... That's when we perk up and we go, oh, this isn't just another celebrity. This is Daryl Hannah. And she went to West Virginia to that school that was underneath that big slurry pond in Coal River Valley and got arrested with Dr. Jim Hansen. Then she went down to where the pipeline was going through Galveston, Texas, through those last farms. And they had people up in tree houses trying to stop the pipeline, and she got arrested there. And then in South Central Los Angeles, she tried to save a big urban farm that had risen out of the riots. And she got Willie Nelson and Joan Baez sit up in a tree and look faintly ridiculous. Hallelujah. And we of course, believe that foolishness, hallelujah, amen, that's important. Amen. That's the revolution. Amen. Praise be.
So it says here on the... I copied this off from the Facebook page for this event, which, by the way, is Exercise Monsanto at Watergate Watergate. So is my age.
Watergate Park. We're all going to fly in a veggie-powered jet to Washington, D.C.
Waterfront Park.
It's not exercise like jumping jacks. It's
right.
Exercise
right.
Exercise
to any of you.
Cast out the demons.
Any of you lapsed Catholics or active Catholics or anybody who's watched The Exorcist or interested in this sort of thing, you can see,
Linda Blair
you
will
can
be
maybe,
there.
Maybe see a real-life exorcism. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, and maybe I don't want to know, but it's going to happen at 12:30 p.m., and do you know which part? I didn't get which part of Waterfront Park.
I can tell you it's the
Salmon
it's
Street.
The Salmon Street Fountain, is right there at NATO Parkway. I don't know how you pronounce it.
NATO. Right. Everybody listening knows where that is. It's up near the Hawthorne Bridge. So that's at 12:30, so you can meet these wonderful loony people.
And,
I beg your pardon.
Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you.
I don't mean to presume. So
I grew up in Minnesota, and the common loon is our state bird.
So I want to ask the choir a little bit here. So it says in addition to Daryl Hannah being arrested, it says Reverend Billy, as an activist, has been arrested more than 50 times. Now, do you all sort of he's sort of a sacrificial lamb? Do you all just like let him get arrested every time, or have any of you been arrested?
I have. Nehemiah has.
I have.
And this is as part of the because you're basically some of your concerts like out in the public are sort of like civil disobedience actions sometimes, right?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that. What happens?
Well, I think that everyone has their own individual boundary, but most of us are still at least willing to bring our bodies fully present to make that statement. And you never really know beforehand if you're going to get arrested or not. So that's always a surprise. In fact, but yes, sometimes, like Nehemiah, when you got arrested with Reverend Billy at Chase, tell
so
about that.
That was during the Golden Toad campaign.
Yes. And we're golden toads.
And we were literally golden toads. We had paper mache golden toad heads on top of our heads.
But our faces were uncovered.
Our faces
very
were
important.
Uncovered.
Very
going
important.
Into banks.
Very important. Yes. And there is this very regal kind of looking bank, Chase in Midtown.
Private
actually.
Wealth management.
Yes, a private wealth management location. And there is a long escalator going about two stories up into the where the actual banking takes place. And so we went in costumed and singing, and it was, kind of a normal everyday experience for us on that level, that we were going into public space and we were taking our message through song, and
we gave out flyers
and we were also very clear that it was an action and we would sing our song and we would be done. And a few minutes after we decided to leave, we're down
on the subway
platform,
thinking
that we were
in the free.
Free and clear,
the subterranean freedom.
And suddenly, the F train comes barreling by. Most of the choir gets on. Billy has a bag that's filled with maybe 12
toad heads,
which is a pretty large bag.
These bright orange
I decide to stay with Billy and to, to help make sure that he gets on the train. And as the train is pulling up, cops are coming down and I can see their legs as they're walking down the stairs. And I'm like, this isn't going to end well. But I was pretty certain because unfortunately, Billy, especially when he is full Billy mode, and when it is the full Reverend Billy, he
is the Elvis impersonator in the white polyester.
Yes. He is a target for cops.
Yes.
It's hard to change out of that quickly.
They seem to find him wherever. And so I decided, I was like, okay, I'll make sure that the paper mache toad heads get back. I'll get everything, and I'll make sure that, the lawyer knows what's happening, because looks like Billy's getting arrested.
Solidarity.
But then the cops were coming up, and they went straight to Billy, and I was kind of trying to get into talking and asking questions mode and seeing where they were taking him, and next thing I know, they were like, oh, you're coming too.
That's like helping while black, right?
Totally.
Helping while black.
Totally.
Well,
yes, exactly.
In his generosity, Nehemiah exposed himself to charges of riot and menace and
carrying toad heads.
I mean, it was about that ridiculous.
It really was.
This carryover language from 9/11, yes, by way of Cotton Mather, and you know, we there are a lot of wealthy ladies up there talking to their little bankers who are looking at fossil fuel investments on glowing screens, and all the women look to me like poses from John Singer Sargent oil paintings, you know, from the 1900s and from the 1800s, and you know, they were interrupted. We interrupted the 1%.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, the what just struck me, I've engaged in a number of civil disobedience actions, and certainly
been present
at a whole bunch
of
them.
You reek of it.
Eureka! Like it. Eureka!
You ever been to Reykjavik in Iceland? Yeah, we went into a super mall there.
So like that's kind of, the big part of it is you're interrupting, business as usual or like the normal flow of social life, which is sort of like congeals around this corrupt acceptance of this corrupt procedures and commerce and all that. But you kind of take it, there's an old tradition for what you do, probably like older than we know even. Mm-hmm. And it's and a lot of activist groups use theater, use some of the same techniques, but you've sort of taken that as sort of like your main thing and really kind of refined it. And we're always, activists are always scrambling around to find a good chant or a good song, but you guys kind of, that's what you do, which is good. It's nice to have that.
Well, I think that all activists need to do what they can. I mean, we happen to live in New York and we're a group of performers, and we choose these strategies partially because this is what we do and what we're good at. I mean, I wouldn't say there are always better strategies. The best strategy is to do what you can do. And that might be singing, and that might be chanting or being theatrical, but it also might be, something you do with your hands or teaching children. It's just right now, everyone has to do something. We were at an amazing celebration in Seattle with Idle No More and the Shell No groups, mostly the indigenous groups that fought that battle. And they were repeatedly, they spoke about doing what you're supposed to do, that the trees, they make oxygen. And what do humans do? What are humans doing?
What's
what are we
job?
Supposed to be? What's our job
right
now?
Carbon dioxide.
Yeah, but I mean, inside the sort of integrity of the ecosphere and the natural order of the right way, what are we supposed to do? And I think it's a really hard question to answer right now. I think it's really hard to find those signals and those cues from our environment, our physical environment, and also the built environment. So. We sing. It also, I have to say, it feels really good to sing. And it's important as an activist to do something that you can keep doing. The sustainability of your own work is important. So singing together, even though it's hard and sometimes the cops are super aggressive and sometimes we're all really broke and a lot of those things, because we sing together, somehow we can keep going.
Amen.
Yeah. I'd like to add to that. Not everybody is going to sing, right? But I think one example that we can hopefully inspire others with is the way that we have built a community, a tribe. I've been in the choir 6.5 years, but Billy's been doing this since the mid-90s. And as a result, our community has inspired other communities to either further their work or to build closer networks with other people. And that's something that you can't really dismiss. I'm even amazed at how there's even been families are being created out of this community. We're connecting to so many other communities internationally and finding our tribe. And I think most important, what Paulo Freire says, our job, our vocation, true vocation as human beings is to be human, to humanize ourselves, including our oppressors. And in order to do that, you have to connect with the other human beings who have that same consciousness.
But in New York City, Is that
especially?
Yeah, especially
in New York City.
The only defense against New York City is neighborhoods. You know, it's 500 neighborhoods.
So, what's y'all's? Do y'all live in the same place area?
I need to get away from these people.
All five boroughs.
We catch each other's colds. That's how close we are.
I think we learned a lot about that thing that's hiding right in plain sight. The activist power of intimacy, of community.
Yes.
In West Virginia, with the mountaintop removal activists, and in Ferguson.
Yes.
Remember that night we spent in that church basement,
and then
we went on Black Friday. We went out with a rampaging, wonderful group of folks from Ferguson, and we went to about four different Walmarts in the North St. Louis area,
yes,
shouting, "Hands up! Don't shop! Hands up!
Don't
shop! Hands up! Don't shop! Hands up!
Don't
shop! Hands up! Don't shop!" Hallelujah. So we learned.
Well, I thought there was a song
them.
Coming out of that.
Yeah,
there is.
There is.
It's still coming. It's still coming. It's
percolating.
It's percolating, and here it is. It's my pocket.
Anyway, as you were saying.
Was I saying something? Hey, Travis.
Hey, Billy.
Talk to us about the Bushwick Farm. Farmer's Market. Hallelujah. Should we sing?
Yeah.
After the song, yeah. Travis. Here we go.
Sure.
I feel that song coming on.
Monday at the deli, talking all at once. Grabbing hands and shouting, get home safe. Tuesday school's out early, wandering through the park. Throwing shade and laughing, get home safe. Wednesday after practice, walking to the train. Streets alive, a party, get home safe. Working late on Thursday, trying to stay awake. Parking lot is empty, get home safe.
Man down, brother down.
Friday's family dinner, don't be late. Can't keep your mama waiting, get home safe. Saturday's a wedding, girls dressed up. Watching out the window, get home safe. Even Sunday, there's no resting. Even Sunday, get home safe.
Michael Brown.
Sandra Bland.
Eric Garner. Akai Gurley. Miriam Carey. John Crawford. Oscar Grant. Tamir Rice.
Ayanna Stanley Jones.
Trayvon Martin. Emmett Till.
And you are listening to Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir, and they will be in town. They are in town, and they will be at the Salmon Street Fountain at 12:30 for Exercise Monsanto. And you talked briefly at the very beginning, and you did a song related to that particular campaign. So let's talk about that. But this is a talk show, and we haven't yet opened it up to telephone calls, and nobody's called in yet. Probably because they're
Wake
so
up, they're
entranced. Mesmerized. The number is, as usual, as always, 503-231-8187. If you would like to join in this conversation.
Come on, y'all.
Hey, poor.
Not all of you have headphones. You won't all be able to hear the questions, but that's the way it goes.
Okay.
That's all right. And there's this one thing I just, as we were talking about, singing in public and singing as part of activism. There's this thing that's been in my mind for a long time. Oh, because you said not everyone, necessarily sings or whatever, but there's this, did you ever hear of this movement in Eastern Europe where literally everybody sang? Like they had thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
Was it Estonia?
Can you imagine? Yeah, I think it was Estonia.
Estonia.
Could you imagine? How powerful that would be?
It was
I want to see that in the United States of America.
It was a band anthem from a former national identity that the Russians banned. And gradually, most of the country ended up singing it in the public square together.
Right.
Wonderful.
It just gives
Tallinn,
chills
I think, is the name of the...
It.
I'm getting
Tallinn
chills, too.
Is the name of the capital of Estonia, by the way.
Go figure.
Hallelujah.
So what would Jesus buy?
That's a trick question. He seems to have lived in a gift economy. I like to point out, we're not Christians, but Jesus is a fascinating guy. I speak for myself.
No.
I should speak for myself.
Girl, that's true.
Somebody must be. Pope Francis is, Francis, or what we call him, Frank. Frank is a Christian, and he's the man in the dress. And he's a member of the Church of Stop Shopping, isn't he? So what was the question, Paul? My mind wandered.
What would Jesus buy?
What would Jesus buy?
Anna May busted me.
He wouldn't.
It was a gift economy.
I was going to say, he was talking about the gift economy. I read a really interesting article about Palestine, actually, and it being the situation in Palestine predicts this, but apparently Palestine has the largest and most effective gift economy ever known, right? Because there's because of various blockades and various, chokeholds on what gets in. The resources are limited, but they managed to spread things so far through so many people that people study it as a gift economy. What a gift economy would look like.
Wow,
that's beautiful. That is beautiful.
And I'll also interject.
It's tragic.
It's terrible.
Terrible.
Yes.
But
the beauty that's come out of it. I joined the choir about 2 years ago, and one of the internal beefs that I actually had with the choir was the name Stop Shopping Choir, because I like to read a lot about prosperity consciousness, and I was like, wait, that goes against prosperity consciousness, because it's not the shopping itself that's terrible, it's the excess consumerism and all of that. But I've been thinking a lot about reframing what prosperity actually is, mm-hmm. like the human connection and the way that we take care of each other. And that can exist outside of, or that precedes and transcends the notion of wealth, meaning being able to own 80 cars. Do you need 80 cars, really? You need more than two?
Well, Rajneesh.
I was going to say Rajneesh.
Right.
See, Rajneesh's, a lot of our listeners probably don't even know.
Cars, and then Imelda is shoes.
Right.
And...
Okay, so we got some callers.
Yay!
And let's go to our first caller.
Amen.
Joseph, you're on the air.
Hi, Joseph.
Go ahead. Yeah, hi.
Hi, my name is Joseph. I'm a KBOO listener. I just turned on the program just before the song started. And could you repeat the name of the group?
This is the Church of Stop Shopping. I'm
wonderful,
Reverend Billy,
wonderful.
And I'm
well,
here with the Stop Shopping Choir.
Doing what I can to fight police aggression and everything against mostly people of color. I was driving along after dropping my sons off to school, and I just want you to know that song just made me cry all the way, and thank you. Thank you so much.
You're so
thank you, brother. Thank you so much.
You're making me cry.
I know, me too.
Thank you for your vulnerability.
We're all starting to lose it here.
It's when I feel so angry. I felt like I was connected then during the song, so thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Joseph.
Bye-bye. You too. You get home safe.
That's why we do it.
Yeah.
All right. We have another caller.
Yeah. Good morning, KBOO.
Good morning.
Morning.
Who's this?
Good morning, Reverend Billy and choir.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Yeah.
Amen.
Love you guys. Hey, Reverend Billy, I know you're way too busy to be shelling for money, but I'm not, because I got all kinds of time. I want to encourage all the KBOO listeners out there to find your webpage or find your mailing address or something and send you a little bit of coin along the way. I really love what you guys are doing. Keep it up.
RevBilly.com, thank That's you so sweet. Much, brother.
Did you put this guy up there?
No.
He's a member of the choir.
he's definitely in the church.
I'll see you guys at the fountain.
Oh, see you there, brother.
I'll see you over there.
RevBilly.com.
What's your name?
Ed.
Ed.
Okay. Hi, Ed.
Thank you for the book, Billy. I got that autographed book you sent me when I sent you a few coins after you got arrested.
Oh, hallelujah. Hope you like it.
Syracuse or someplace when you got arrested last?
Let's see. My last arrest was just
Cincinnati, I think it was.
I almost got arrested yesterday at the Gates Foundation in Portland.
Oh, yeah.
Or Seattle. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. We went to the front gate with it's right across from the Space Needle, so we walked right out of those tourists. And what's the name of the group that is starting to urge them to divest from fossil fuel investments? We joined that group there.
They have
350?
No.
They're a local group. They just started up.
Really I'll find out for you. Hold on a second. We'll
we joined them and sang, and the bullhorn was just catching Gates's glassy office buildings just perfectly.
Yeah.
And we had some tremendous divestment shouts ringing through his buildings. Did we have some echoes going on there?
We sure did.
And so the earth was shouting to the people behind the glass, and they started gathering in the glassy world that they inhabit. And I think the word divestment went into lots of Gates Foundation people, and we found ourselves surrounded by some pretty heavy dudes. I mean, some of them looked like they came over from Blackwater, USA. I mean, they were, but we got out of there.
Isn't it called like XX now?
It's something X-E. Like that. XE.
You know, it's funny. Monsanto wants to change its name too. Hmm. And Monsanto wants to change its name to XE. Oh. And Blackwater changed its name to XI. So what's happening here?
Hey, it'll be easy to
they're all X-rated.
The name of that group is just GatesDivest.org.
Yeah.
You know, Billy said something really interesting out there. He said these are professionally compassionate people, right?
Mm.
Whose trade is the future, right? And they advocate for the future of mainly humans at the Gates Foundation. And he talked about the basic schizophrenia of doing that work using fossil fuel money, and the basic dissonance of that position. So, you know, the Gates Foundation, I would argue that they are less of a foundation and more of a corporation, and mm-hmm. there is some very complex work they're doing, especially in that great continent, Africa. You should all check it out before you smile and say, oh yeah, the Gates Foundation, they do great work, they're so compassionate.
Thanks for coming to Foreman, Billy. I'm
going
to let you go.
All right. Well, we're glad to be here.
We're glad to be
here. And we'll see you. See you later, Ed.
Thanks, Ed. Hope that answered your question, Ed.
A little bit far afield there.
Ready to learn a song, Ed?
That was good. But anyway, so Waterfront Park at the Salmon Street Fountain today at 12:30 for a public exorcism of Monsanto. So did you want to say anything about this, or just sort of let people show up?
The glyphosates are in our, we're discovering, throughout our bodies. Mm. We have now 80,000 unregulated, invisible, not easily located chemicals that have come out. I keep hearing the number 80,000, but I suspect that's like a 10-year-old bit of data.
It's 80,000 million.
Yeah, it's a little bit like 97% of the scientists who, you know, believe that climate change is human caused. You know, after a while, it's just 97%. It might have gone up to 99 by now. You know, but I know that that public space has been privatized in this way as well, where we can't stop the corporations. They have come with these invisible toxins. They are able to keep Washington corrupt on this issue. They simply will not investigate. And they just instituted a very weak beginning of an examination of, you know, regulation of potential carcinogens and airborne carcinogens. Glyphosate, there's no, they should have long ago banned glyphosate, but Monsanto's executive vice president Michael Taylor's head of the FDA and so forth. You know, it's just they're like Goldman Sachs. It's a part of the culture of Monsanto to keep that revolving door spinning. And you go. It's like right wing apocalyptic preachers from Tennessee. They go to New York City to Sodom and Gomorrah. To say they've been there, and that's what they do from St. Louis. They go to Washington and they serve in the EPA, you know, regulating themselves, and then they return to Monsanto. So they've been doing this for years. And the only hope against glyphosates is cities, counties, if we can bring democracy to our own, where we live, if local can be radical again. Seattle and Chicago have made moves against glyphosates.
Local-luya. And this is a story you know in Portland. I mean, obviously, the state just, you know, heartbreaking loss on 92 last year, right? And I think probably people are pretty crushed about that still. But we got to keep pushing back against Monsanto. If we can't win the monolithic war against Monsanto with a proposition like that, then we can exercise them from the public parks. You know, tomorrow in Eugene, we're going to help some people who are trying to get a local, not a labeling law, but a straight up ban on GMOs in the county that Eugene sits in. I can't remember the name of it, Kent County or something. Anyway, Lane County maybe. But anyway, I think today we're going to sort of try to kindle the fire a little bit because we know spirits are low on the Monsanto front in Oregon right now. We just want to encourage you to keep going and thank you for all the work everyone here did on 92 last year.
And thank you for the effort that is going on in Portland to get glyphosates out of the spraying regime of the Parks Department.
Because Portland actually did.
How can it be that Portland is still using
incredible,
glyphosates?
Like groundbreaking testing to see what it would take to get glyphosates out of the parks. And, you know, exhaustive studies of volunteers versus spraying and what it takes, what it looks like, what those numbers are. And, you know, it looks like they made a decision, just it's a financial decision at this point, but there's some really interesting little facts in the report, which you can find on their website. On the city's parks website. For instance, I'm just going to give you a very brief example. You know, they said that the hardest place to mitigate weeds is the ball fields. They said that that's the place where you have to spray. It's hardest to control the weeds around ball fields. And of course, I'm standing there going, here is where practical wisdom and common knowledge really works, right? So you have this captive group of people who are watching their kids play ball. Now, why don't we just ask them to pull the weeds while they're watching the damn baseball game? Or how about if those
Absolutely.
Kids...
Absolutely. Let's reinvent the seventh inning stretch.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's some... But this Come is a on. Scale issue, right? So that works at a very small scale. In a small community, we could say, let's do it, you guys. But in a big city, you know, somehow we're separated from our basic common wisdom.
That's a community...
Right, you know?
That's just community creativity. You just find a way to do it.
Yeah, there's, pull the weeds.
There's no study. If there's a Parks Department person listening to me right now here in Portland...
And what
you
is a weed?
Show us the study that says there's a safe minimum dosage of glyphosates. It doesn't exist. But the World Health Organization, the WHO itself, says it's carcinogenic. Come on. France, Germany, Brazil, Denmark, I mean...
Even Russia.
Half the countries in the world have banned it. Why is Portland this great liberal city still using glyphosates on any level? Yeah. Come on. And why is New York using it?
What am I? Go back to Savici's example, you know, children playing on a baseball field. Do we want them playing in a field full of glyphosate?
Yeah,
that was my thought. That was my first thought.
Connect the dots.
It's like we're spraying Agent Orange on our own community because those chemicals are connected. It's part of the same lineage.
Yeah.
Another Monsanto product, Agent Orange, PCPs, dioxins, growth hormones in cattle. This company...
And Donald Trump... Oh, no, wait, never mind.
Basically,
Donald Trump was created in the laboratories of Monsanto. Yeah.
So let's go. We got a few more callers.
Oh, come on. Come on.
And we've only got
we've
only got 15 minutes left.
And Approach the altar. Come
and maybe
on.
There'll be another song coming, too, at some point. But, that one's gone. So that one down. Sorry about that, whoever you were.
Approach the altar, but, just traumatize somebody.
But we do have other callers, I think. Oh my God. We're knocking them down one at a time. Call back, please. Please call back. We're sorry we took so long to get to you. We really are.
Ask me about my nail shine.
They all dropped. I do apologize on behalf of the group.
Yeah, we're sorry.
Oh, people in the morning are on the way somewhere and they can't wait forever.
That's probably true.
Let's sing a song.
True.
Yeah.
What do you got in mind? Breaking into public space? No, not that song. It's been nixed. Hallelujah. Breaking into public space.
Give me a little time. Let me think.
Yeah. All right.
By the way, Nehemiah Luckett is our genius music director. By way of Jackson, Mississippi. And I just wanted to celebrate him for a moment because of the influence that he's had on the culture of our community since he joined our family. And we are a community choir. So not everyone involved are professional performers. But what's exciting about that space is again, where our goal is community more than anything. And Nehemiah has helped shape us and grow us as that community with the grace and enthusiasm, and as well as how he has helped us to improve even our professionalism, because there is something to be said about the quality and the aesthetic of our work. A song has multiple lives. It has one incantation on the street, when we're on the street doing an action, versus when we're now doing stadium eco rock. Woohoo!
So, performing stadium eco rock. The Vancouver Canucks hockey stadium, right? And Rogers Hall and Chiles Center tomorrow night.
Tonight.
Whoa, all right, I lost a day on the road here.
Notice how modest he is. He went straight to the song.
Yeah, he didn't want to. All right, here we go.
We thought we could raise the alarm, but there were always other fires. And the children don't know. The children do not know. We thought we could shout the story, but the silence grew, it grew and grew. And the creatures don't know. The creatures do not know. Who will tell the creatures it's the end of the world? It's the end of the world.
It's the apocalypse.
Only so many beautiful days on earth. We thought there might be more magic, but we sold off our most ancient power. The spirits don't know. The spirits do not know.
We're taking them by surprise. Come on.
Who will tell the spirits it's the end?
It's the end
of the world. It's the end.
Is this the end
of the world? Only so
what's happening to life?
Days on earth. Your trees are gone. Your fish are dead. Your sky, it moves over no one's head.
Oh, lonely cloud.
Only sand falls down on empty ground. Oh, cloud, lonely cloud. Only sand falls down
tell the creatures?
Who will tell the spirits?
Only so many beautiful days.
Only so many beautiful days.
Only so many beautiful days
on earth.
Come on, we gotta do something. We'll get our activism going. Everybody, come on now.
So many beautiful
time is running out. Time is running out. Earthalluyah! 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 Earthalluyah!
Applause, applause. Paul, all Portland is roused up.
No, Paul, that was the end. There's no applause. Did you listen to the song?
I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Our CO2 and methane is now rising at exactly the same rate as the Permian extinction 250 million years ago, in which 95% of all life was gone. Mm. And the dinosaurs turned into birds. And Paul, I don't know what you're going to turn into.
It might be
some kind of, I shudder. At
flying
the
salamander or something.
Yeah.
But amen. I'm awake.
Hey, we got a call, and this is a call-in show, so we do like to encourage people to participate directly. You are listening to the Church of Stop Shopping, a.k.a. Billy, Reverend Billy, and the Stop Shopping Choir, who are in town, and we'll tell you more about that after we talk to...
Rebel. Rebel with a cause.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to say Reveluya to start off.
Hallelujah. Reveluya.
And also, just on the Monsanto topic before the song, just an interesting fact, not the reason I called, but just really quick. Weed is legal in Portland now, by the way, if you didn't know. And it's actually regulated to not have pesticides. So I'm kind of wondering... how the weed doesn't have pesticides, but our food does.
That's the irony.
I think we should just start smoking our food, right?
That's the logical answer.
I think that's the logical, yeah.
How can you smoke a baked potato?
Listen.
So that was just an interesting fact, but the reason why I called is because, you know, we have so many struggles. We have Monsanto, we have the killer police, you know, you name it. We have war. We have all these issues, and different people care about different issues, but they all derive pretty much from the same corrupt source. We all know this. People are asleep. They're not doing anything. We need to rise up and rebel against this. And the way that you guys do it in your creative way just really inspires so many, and I thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
that reminds me, actually, I know at 1:30 today at City Hall, there's a rally about the rents, and I guess that's a gentrification in the broadest sense. So I just encourage people to go down there. I think there's a hearing inside the courthouse, so the City Hall today, not the courthouse.
Can we talk about urban farming for just a moment? And
please do.
The farmers markets. Travis Tench is here from Bushwick in... is that in Queens or is that in
Brooklyn?
Is that in Brooklyn? Oh, that's where I live. I live in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Well, Brooklyn is the size of about half of the USSR. It's a big borough, and I need to be forgiven for not knowing, you know, everything about that. I'll live there many years before I see all the borders of the place. Can you tell us about your food desert that you are dealing with there?
Yeah. Billy refers to my work outside of the choir, I think of that, you know, and Sawatchi, you're saying, like, you know, we all kind of do what we can, and in different ways to you know, take on these issues, and so one of them, and some of my work is creating a little urban farm at a high school, and teaching kids who probably wouldn't otherwise have a lot of access to dirt or any, you know, very much green at all, and much greenery, So we teach them to grow food, and we run a couple of farmers markets there in that neighborhood. And it's a neighborhood of a lot of concrete, very little green space, not a lot of good food, and a lot of, you know, diet related conditions of the people there, which is
diabetes,
no surprise that
cancer.
Don't have access to good food, you're gonna have a lot of those issues. So we try to take those on, little by little. Been going 7 years now, our seventh season. We're wrapping up.
Great.
Yeah, nice. I love community gardens and those kind of projects.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing, and that kind of thing is difficult to, I think sometimes to measure the impact out on it. Although we're asked, for. On our grant applications all the time to
have these fingernails are dirty.
Like this citywide study that we're, it's like conducting in our free time or whatever. But I think, we see that very anecdotally, like from people that literally come up and thank me for, it's like, I'm so glad there's a market I can walk to in my neighborhood. And they literally thank us. And same with the kids that go through our program, some that like didn't, would scoff at the idea of growing anything, and like, what the hell is kale or what's a kohlrabi? And now they're speaking on our behalf, like at conferences, like they speak at like the NOFA conference, which is Northeast
NOFA.
Organic Farming Association. Yeah. And they go on our behalf, like these kids who are now adults in college, and they're like,
that's great.
Advocates.
Civic education. Hey, we got one more call. We'll try to get
this
in.
This is a quiet
and we
revolution.
Can wrap it up.
This is a quiet revolution that's going on.
So who's our next caller? Timothy, you're on the air.
St. Timothy.
Thank you so much for your wonderful show today and bringing this into our consciousness.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
We're glad to be here.
Thank you, Reverend Billy, for bringing consciousness out to the Playa. I don't think you've been out there for a couple years, but that's when I first got turned on to you about 8-9 years ago, met you at VMIR. And kind of shifted my consciousness of what I do out at Burning Man. But I just want to take a moment to point out when you guys are talking about the divestment of oil and the Gates Foundation funding their philanthropic thing, you use the term schizophrenic. And as a mental health clinician and advocate for 27 years, I just want to kind of point that out.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Just a teaching moment, but thank you guys so much for your consciousness.
Thank you. We'll try to correct that rhetoric. That's the irresponsible preacher that's drunk too much coffee. But you're absolutely right.
Thank you. You're right.
That's a very good point, and we will not use that phrase.
We'll say cognitive dissonance.
There you go. Cognitive dissonance.
Yes. That's what contradiction. We meant to say, and I apologize. Right.
Or just how about outright
sin? Sociopathic, actually.
Sociopathic.
I'm curious if their choices and behavior would qualify officially as sociopathy more accurately.
I think Kurt Vonnegut would say it does, I think.
Definitely the gaslighting.
That's what that film, The Corporation, is about. Did anyone see that? Where they basically analyze the corporation and
as
determine
a person,
that it is sociopathic.
Hallelujah. We would not act that way as individuals. We would not do what corporations do
unless
as individuals.
Unless we were sociopathic.
Unless we had corporations to inculcate that sort of behavior.
Correct. Mm.
And other mass institutions.
That's why we've got to talk laterally to people who are making their living in corporations and who are quieting their conscience because they're a part of this, this cash and carry religion, with a logo over the door. And corporations are religions, and they stifle us, and then they do in the name of that corporation, they do things we would not do as individuals. We've got to reach across with songs, with performances, with
and tonight I wanted to
essays.
Say also at Lewis and Clark there's a don't shoot rally. It starts at 6:30, it goes till 8. We had hoped to be there, but it conflicts with our other show. But please do turn up there, people. It's
Black
very
Lives
important.
Matter.
Stay on top of that.
You're more up on some of the local events than I am today. We're going to go out with a song, it sounds like, but to remind people that the Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir are at the Salmon Street Fountain there at Waterfront Park at 12:30 today. And tonight at the Child Center at the University of Portland, they'll be opening for Neil Young. I don't know if their tickets still available. Don't know how much they cost or any of that. And at 1:30, a rally at City Hall on rising rents. 6:30, Lewis and Clark don't shoot rally. thank you all so much for being here. This is such a treat.
Thank you, Paul.
Such a treat.
Monsanto is the devil. Cast him out.
Monsanto!
Monsanto is the devil.
Glyphosate!
Cast him out.
Neo Dickinson!
Monsanto is the devil.
Agent Orange!
Cast him out.
Human bovine growth hormone!
Is the devil. Cast
PCB!
Him out.
We gotta cast
Monsanto
him out.
Is the devil. Wow! Cast him out.
Monsanto.
Let's get to work.
Is the devil.
Cast him out.
Monsanto is the devil. Cast him out.
Hallelujah. Earthalluia.
RevBilly.com.
Yes, yes. So how can people get in touch with you?
RevBilly.com.
Well, my cell phone is 646-299-3019. I'm not lonely, but I'd love to hear from you.
All right. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. This has been Wednesday. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, shout out to all our choir members who are back in New York.
Yes.
As well.
Yes.
All right.
Love you. Can't
Wednesday
wait.
Talk Radio. We've been here with Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir. Thank you so much for listening. This is KBOO Portland. Thank you, Kathleen Stevenson, for engineering this three-ring circus this morning.
Thank you.
Co-sponsor of the first annual Purple Mile Walk, Saturday, October 10th at 10 a.m., starting at the Center for Self-Enhancement in Portland. The walk ends at King Elementary School with a celebration to show solidarity and celebrate survivors of domestic violence. Again, that's the first annual Purple Mile Walk, Saturday, October 10th at 10 a.m., starting at the Center for Self-Enhancement, 3920 North Kirby Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Two, three, four.
KBU Community Radio is proud to present A Hard Day's Night as part of the KBU at the Clinton Monthly Film Series. The Beatles made this film in 1964 as they portray a rock and roll band traveling from Liverpool to London for a television broadcast.